morning to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, book of Isaiah, chapter 1, read verses 2 and verse 3. Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 2 and verse 3. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, that is, they do not understand. My people doth not consider, they do not acknowledge. Isaiah, of course, was God's messenger to the southern kingdom, which was known as Judah. The book opens with our text in verse 2 with Isaiah issuing a call to hear. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. The basis of this was the fact that the Lord was speaking through him. For the Lord hath spoken. That is, what the Lord would say through Isaiah to the children of Israel, I believe is true of the entire human race. There is a statement concerning the Lord's care, concerning the Lord's love for them, and concerning his position of authority over them. He says, I have nourished and brought up children. Again, that speaks of his love, it speaks of his care, it also speaks of his authority. I have brought up children. This is followed by a charge against them. They have rebelled against me. This rebellion, this revolt, this defying of God was the result of their ignorance and foolishness. We see that in verse 3. And what he is saying in verse 3 is that the most stubborn and unmanageable of animals have an instinct that causes them to recognize their master. And in this sense, in this respect, they show more knowledge and sense than the people of God who have rebelled against the Lord. What Judah was guilty of, they were guilty of failing to consider and acknowledge the rights of God. And this is what led to their terrible and appalling condition that is described in verses 5 through verse 15. I want to speak this morning on recognizing the rights of God. Recognizing the rights of God. We live in a time when there is a great amount of talk and a tremendous emphasis upon rights. We often hear and read of human rights. We hear of children's rights. Don't hear too much about it, but parental rights. We hear much about civil rights, constitutional rights, legal rights, religious rights, consumer rights. You go to the hospital, patient rights. And we even hear of animal rights. The meaning of human rights is simply this. Every person is entitled to certain fundamental rights simply because of the fact that they are human. That's human rights. Because they are human, they have certain rights. Now, ours, of course, is a society of narcissism. Because of that, people are obsessed with their rights. And everywhere people protest what they view as the violation of their rights. But think about it, with all the hoopla over rights, when was the last time you heard anything about the rights of God? I guarantee you won't hear it on Fox News or any other news station. The rights of God. When you consider all the excessive hoopla over rights, there is one thing that becomes painfully obvious. Very little, if any, thought is given to the rights of God. And we, just like Judah in our text, many times we fail to acknowledge God and His rights. Again, Judah was guilty of failing to consider and acknowledge God. They were guilty of failing to consider and acknowledge the rights of God. The book opens with that charge. And then throughout the book, in light of the fact that Judah is guilty of not acknowledging God, throughout the book, God declares His being. He declares His position. He declares His authority over and over and over. Notice in Isaiah 42, we're going to read several verses or parts, in some cases, parts of verses. This is God declaring His being, declaring His position, declaring His authority. And it is all to be viewed in light of the charge that is leveled against Judah. Notice in Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. Certainly that individual has rights. Verse 8, I am the Lord. That is my name. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Verse 7, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant. That gives him authority, whom I have chosen, Skip a few lines. Notice, I am He. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Verse 12, the last part of that verse. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. I am God. Verse 13. I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Verse 8. Last part of that verse, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Chapter 45 and verse 5. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. Verse 6, the last part of that verse, there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 21, last part of that verse, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Verse 22, look unto me that you be saved, all the ends of the earth, and then notice, for I am God, and there is none else. In each of those verses, God establishes the fact that He is God. He is Creator. He is Lord. He is King. He is Redeemer. This is all to be viewed in light of the charge of verse 3. In each of these verses, God establishes the fact that He has rights. Can you read any of those verses and deny that God has rights? In each of those verses, God is declaring that He has a just claim. That's what a right is. You have a just claim. Does not God, being God, have a just claim? To have a right means that you have a due. In each of those verses, God is declaring He has rights, He has a just claim, He has a due. It's appalling that anyone would think that God does not have rights. That God does not have just claim. That God does not have His due. The basic and foundational truth that must always be acknowledged is that God not only has rights, God has absolute and universal right to everything. The truth is, God is the only one who does have absolute right. The rights and claims of God are unlimited. You can't put a limit upon the rights and claims of God. It is absolutely essential to our spiritual well-being that we never fail to consider and acknowledge the absolute rights and claims of God. That we never ever be guilty of treating God's rights and God's claims and God's due as last and least of all. And that's what Judah was guilty of. First of all, his rights are conditioned upon the fact that he is God. Just because he is God, he has universal right. We read in Psalm 100 in verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." He is God. Has God, he is above all. Has God, he is over all. Has God, he is supreme. Has God, he possesses all dominion. In fact, we read in Psalm 103 and verse 19 that his kingdom ruleth over all. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Daniel 4, verse 35. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1, verse 11. Has God, he has absolute right and claim upon everything. Has God, he has a right to command you to do whatever he desires. I mean, who does man think he is to dare even think, let alone say, I don't agree with that command? Who do you think you are? He's God. He's God. He has a right to command anything he pleases. He's God. He has a right to use you or not to use you however he pleases. That's his right. How dare anyone say, well, if I was God. Well, I got news for you. You're not. And God help us if you were. You're not. But the audacity to even think such a thing. Well, if I was God, I wouldn't do it that way. God has absolute right. We must always acknowledge the rights of God. As God, he owns everything. Exodus 19, verse 5 says, "All the earth is mine." If I own something, I have certain rights concerning that. But my rights concerning that are limited by law, by the laws of the land. God owns everything, and he is his own law. His rights are unlimited. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14 says, "All things come of thee." And in Psalm 24 and verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." He owns it all. Psalm 89, verse 11 says, "The heavens are thine, the earth is also thine. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine." And in Haggai 2 and verse 8 says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." And in Romans 14 and verse 8, we read, "For whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's." He owns everything. That means that he has the right of possession of all that you are, of all that you have. Since it is his, he has the right to give. He has the right to withhold. And he has the right to take away. He is God. He has rights. He has a just claim. He has due. This is emphasized in the questions that are asked in Romans 9, verse 20. Notice if we turn there. Romans 9, verse 20. This is in light of "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." People have a problem with that. Verse 18, "He hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." That's the rights of God. These questions are asked in light of those truths. Verse 20, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" Who art thou to say, "That isn't fair"? Who do you think you are? God has rights to do whatever he pleases. And who is man to reply against God? "Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" God has the right to make you however he pleases. He has rights because he is God. Secondly, his rights are conditioned upon the fact that he is creator. Everything in this universe, seen and unseen, is a creation of God. I am the creation of God. I am God created physically, mentally, and even spiritually. I am the absolute property of the Lord. And God has unlimited claim upon me. That's true of every one of us, saved or unsaved. Not only are our lives created by God, but our lives are lived in a world created by God. God has given us ears to hear wonderful things. He has given us the sense of smell and taste and feeling. He has given us the ability to walk and to talk and to think and to enjoy and to work and to play and to laugh and to cry and to love. It is God who has given us the ability to do those things. We are created by God, living in God's world, living upon God's resources, sustained by God, protected by God, loved by God. He certainly has claim to everything. He has rights. God not only made me and made the world that I live in, he has the right of absolute proprietorship. He is the creator. According to Acts 17, 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. He feeds us. He clothes us. He sustains us in life. He crowns the life with His love. He blesses us every single moment of every single day. He daily loadeth us with benefits. He is the Creator. We are the creation. He is the potter. We are the clay. He is the ruler. We are the subjects. Certainly, He has rights. Certainly, He has a just claim upon everything. And certainly, He has His due. So God has rights because He's God. God has rights because He's the Creator. He has rights conditioned upon the fact of our salvation. May I say, God has the right to save whoever He will. He has that right. God has the right to cast a soul into hell. God has that right. God, in His infinite love, in His infinite goodness, planned and purposed my salvation. He left absolutely nothing to chance. And He left absolutely nothing to me. Due to no merit of our own, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Due to no merit of our own, He ordained us to eternal life. And He appointed us to salvation. It was His will to save us and not ours. It was His intention to save us and not ours. It was His purpose to save us and not ours. God prepared a body for His Son, Jesus Christ. And in the Father's time, Jesus Christ, who was God, who was equal with God, and who had all the glory of God, He left heaven and came to this earth in that body that God the Father had prepared for Him. And He came for me. He came and He lived in that body a perfect life of righteousness. And that was put to my account. All my sins would be placed upon Him. And in order to save my soul, in order to judge my sin, God spared not His Son. And Jesus Christ bore the full wrath of God because of my sin. He paid my sin debt in full. All of this was before I was born. In time, in God's time, I was born into this world. I was born a guilty sinner before God. I was born dead in sin. And as I lived my life, I lived as a child of wrath, as one under sin, as a worker of iniquity, as one who was entangled in sin and cursed and condemned, and under the just wrath of God. We lived as enemies of God. We lived without Christ. We lived without God, without hope. Far, far from God. Blind and deaf to the voice of God. Just walking according to the course of this world. Unthankful. Fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. On the road to sure destruction. And without any strength to help ourselves. It was while in this condition that God called me to Himself. But I would not come. I would not listen. Until the Holy Spirit came to where I was. And He imparted life. And He drew me to Himself. He saved me. And every single aspect of my salvation is because of Him. He has rights. He has a just claim. He has His due. Fourthly and lastly, I am obligated to such a God, and He has a right of expectation. I find it amazing that people expect all kinds of things from God. But they have this feeling that God has no right to expect anything of them. He is God. He is my Creator. He is my Redeemer. As such, He has absolute right over my entire being. He has rights. He has just claims to every fiber of my being. He has rights and just claim to every moment of my time. He has that right. God has the right to demand every second of your time. He has that right. He doesn't do that. But He has that right. He has rights and just claim to every aspect and every part of my life. I belong to Him. I am His property. And He has the right to expect deep, unselfish, an entire devotion. He has the right to expect that of all His creation. He has the right to expect and demand all from you and I. He has the right to expect us not to spend all of our energy in other pursuits and have nothing left for Him. He has the right to expect us not to be consumed, not to be so consumed with other matters that we have nothing but leftovers for God. People have a tendency to think that God should be satisfied with our garbage. Be satisfied with what nobody else wants. God has the right to expect your first fruits. He has the right to expect the very best that you have. God has the right to expect us to be excited in His service and entirely committed to Him. God has a right to expect us to be thankful, to expect us to be humble, to expect us to be unselfish and reverent and faithful. He has the right to expect us to be surrendered without any reservation and without the least resistance. God has the right to expect you to desire Him, to pursue Him, to embrace Him, to welcome Him, and to willingly open our lives to Him. He has the right to expect that. He has the right to expect that we center our entire lives around Him and to put Him first in all things. God has the right to expect us to want to please Him in everything and to praise Him and to exalt Him. God has universal rights, unlimited rights to you and I. Solomon, in his wisdom, declared in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, "In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, recognize God. In all thy ways, recognize that God has rights, that God has claim, that God has due. No matter what your circumstances, no matter where you might be, in all things, in all places, in all areas, in all realms, in all seasons, and in all situations, we are to recognize God. We are to recognize that God has universal right over you and I. He has unlimited claim. He has just claim. He has due. It is this attitude of forgetting God's absolute right to everything and treating God's rights and God's claims as last and least of all. We put people ahead of God. We are saying they have more rights than God. God has absolute right. Is this attitude of forgetting God that fights against and resists the will of God in our lives? God has absolute right. God in His grace, God in His mercy, chose and worked it out that you and I would be born in the United States of America. God had the right to put us anywhere He pleased. And He still does. And He still does. God, in His purpose, allowed me to be born healthy. Two legs, two arms, two eyes. But God has the right to allow us to be born unhealthy. God has the right to have that child born with one arm or no arms or no legs. That's God's right. You say, well, why? Why would God do that? You don't need to know. All you need to know is God is God. And He has absolute right to do whatever He pleases. God has the right for you and your to allow you and your spouse to live together for 70 or 80 years and then to die together. And God has the right to take away your spouse
God has the right for you to see your children grow to adulthood. And God has the right to take that infant in arms. Who are we to reply against God? Oh, how we need to acknowledge God in everything. Acknowledge God's right. Acknowledge the fact that God has a claim upon me. I am His. Acknowledge that God has His due. And submit. We would be much happier if we would just submit to this fact that God has absolute right. That God has unlimited right over our entire being and our entire lives. You know, people will say all the time, it's my body, I can do with it what I want. First of all, it's not true. It's not your body. And even if it was, it's still not true that you can do whatever you please. You don't have that many rights. God has all rights. I can go wherever I please. That's my right. No, it isn't. It's God's right to send you wherever He pleases. You think about it. You see all the time. We're not necessarily condemning it, but people protesting because someone's rights have been violated. No one's rights are more questioned than God's. No one's rights are more ignored than God's. No one's rights are more violated and trampled upon than the Lord's. But all that you and I, as God's children, that we would realize today and thank God that He has absolute right. He does not have to run it by us first to meet our approval. He has absolute right. God has absolute right to place in the White House whoever He pleases. And for the most part, we get what we deserve. Less than we deserve, really. But never, ever forget, God has rights. The ox knoweth his master's crib. The ox, the most unmanageable of animals. The ass, the most stubborn. Even they have an instinct to acknowledge their master. But God says, but my people have rebelled against me. They don't realize that I am God. Again, we read many verses there in Isaiah. In all of those verses, God was declaring who He was. We need to hear that every day. We need to hear Him say every day when we get up out of bed, I am God. I am God. I am He. And you follow me today. That's our duty. And oh, how much happier we'd be if we would just follow the Lord. How much better society would be. How many things in our culture would not even exist if we just followed God. He has absolute right over your entire being. Brother Larry, if you'd come.